Hour number two of the program here, Chris Thomas, tonight, Turtle. Before we get back to the busy phones, just want to remind you to join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game after each Falcons game for the Falcons Flyover. It's your first chance to call in and react after every Falcons game. It's brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. That's the Falcons Flyover, immediately following every Falcons game this season on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, of course, it is hosted by yours truly. So we'll be doing that again this Sunday and every Sunday for the rest of the season. I think they got one more primetime game. No, two. They got the Bucks and the Rams. So 404-726-0929. Back to the busy phones. Can they do it? If you have one job to save your job, are you able to do it? Because that's what Zach Robinson, Raheem Morris, and the rest of the staff, I believe, are tasked with now in fixing the QB. John in Million City started off.
Now, this is the problem, and I've said this before. You got three people on the job training. You got the quarterback on the job training. You got the quarterback coach on the job training. And you got the offensive coordinator on the job training. Two blind people will both fall in a hole. Three of them will walk in front of a truck and get run over. I mean, this is just ridiculous. Now, the solution to the problem is fire Zach Robinson. Point blank, period. The Baltimore Ravens in 2012 fired their offensive coordinator in the playoffs and won the Super Bowl. So there is precedent for doing that and being successful. All right? So go and find an expert in this offensive system we're running, which, ladies and gentlemen, is the West Coast offense. You got at least three coaches out there that can come in, make minor adjustments to what this offense is or isn't doing, and be successful with it. But you have someone that's offensive coordinator and quarterback coach that don't know enough about the offense and their jobs, period, to be able to solve anything. And that goes directly on Raheem Morris for hiring these people. Defensive side of the ball is perfect. They went 40 minutes working versus 26 minutes working. The people on the defensive side of the ball didn't even get a chance to sip Gatorade on the sideline before they had to go back to work.
You're right.
And man, see, this is just ridiculous because there is no way for this present group, there's no way for them to right this ship. I'm just telling you, any wins that they may have will be just a matter of happenstance, not by design.
No, John, I appreciate that. I tend to agree. I do think 3-6, it's really hard to come back from. I agree with almost everything you said. But honestly, it only adds to your point. And to use your three blind mice analogy, Raheem Morris is not a blind mouse. He has, 40-something games coached in the NFL as a head coach now? He's not new at this. This is not his first rodeo. As a matter of fact, it's his third, technically. So, but that just further adds to your point that the fact that it's still this inept and still this inconsistent only adds to the argument that Raheem is unfortunately not the man for the job. John, good stuff. Love the passion there at A Million City. Justin's in Danielsville. Go ahead.
Hey, Turtle. How's it going?
Good, man. What's up?
So this is just, from top to bottom, an organizational just mishap, a complete mess up. You can't make the mistakes that you've made in the draft the past 2 years and expect to reap any beautiful fruits when you can't gauge or understand how good or not good this team is. We sit here and we give Kirk Cousins this bag and then draft Michael Penix. So what's the plan? Your plan is a backup plan? You have no plan. Now, this past draft, we trade back up and say, hey, L.A., here you go. Take our top 10 pick the way it's looking right now because we need this guy and this guy on defense because we're going to be a playoff team. Raheem Morris is over his head. He's not a good coach. We interviewed four other coaches that are doing great, and we hired this guy. What are we doing, and how badly is this organization ran?
Well, it's a good question, and unfortunately, and I appreciate the phone call, the more games that we see like the last four, the more evidence that you're right. And that's just a shame, isn't it? It's just, it's at this point, it is so maddeningly just emotionally driven at this point because of the frustration that comes with another season when you're 3-6, right? That's what it comes down to. Another season, 3-6. Come on. This was supposed to be the year, man. Again, for the 8th straight year, this was supposed to be the year, to the caller's point. It's just maddening. It really is. And the more, and again, to the caller's point, the more the sample size continues to grow, the worse it looks for everybody involved. Mike is in McDonough. Mike, go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep, I got you. Go ahead.
All right, nice meeting you, Turtle, first-time caller. I'm a 49er fan, and I want to go back to, like, week 7 when we played the Falcons or whatever. Y'all have basically, I'm saying y'all as far as Atlanta, but y'all are more talented at every position. I mean, running back. I'd rather have Bijan than McCaffrey. Even Bijan said, hey, McCaffrey, let me work out with you this summer, right? So we went out there, worked out with him, trained, did some smart stuff. Our receivers, Drake London and Mooney, clearly better than Jennings and Bourne. Tight end, I'd rather have Pitts than Kittle. Quarterback, you can't tell me that Mac Jones is better than Penix Jr. So my whole point is that y'all have all the best position players, not the best, but better than the 49ers, but yet we have the coaching. I mean, y'all had Shanahan, actually. Y'all let him go. But Shanahan, I mean, he's doing great things out there. And my whole point is that I'm making that the offensive coordinator, he's just not doing it.
No, Mike, you're right. And thanks for checking in. And, you know, I don't think you're 100% right in terms of your evaluation of the position groupings there, but that's not the point. The point is that, yes, even a fan of an opposition of the opposing team can see that the Falcons just don't have it when it comes to coaching. You just heard it. He was a 49ers fan. He watched the same game we watched. That's the unfortunate part. Even non-Falcons fans can see it plain as day. Look at what Dan Orlovsky and Kurt Warner had to say about the team. Not good. Phillips in Sharpsburg. Phillip, go ahead.
Hey, Turtle. I'm thinking at this point, I'm wondering, are we just at the point where we're ready to admit that we overvalued where this team was at the start of the season? You know, all of it was if this player can perform up to this, right? If Kyle Pitts can finally break out, if the rookies can perform on defense, if Michael Penix can take that next step, can we just say we weren't there yet and we're still a year away with some of these players before we're ready to make a run to the playoffs?
But even if that's true, they shouldn't be this bad. Right?
That's true.
Right? Yeah. Isn't that the whole thing? That let's say you're right. Let's say we did overhype them, and Vegas didn't, by the way. They had them at 7.5 wins. They still shouldn't be 3-6 and losing games the way that they have been.
Yeah, you're right. It's probably more of a mixed bag. Coaching has a lot to do with it. But to that point, then, is it solely on the coaches for not preparing all of these players?
Yes, it absolutely is. And I appreciate the phone call, especially when you have a young quarterback, right? That's the whole point, y'all. That's the whole freaking point. The coaching staff has failed this quarterback. They have failed him. He has made 11 starts in the NFL. He doesn't have the mind yet of a Matthew Stafford, even of a Jalen Hurts, of guys that have played in big games in this league. He doesn't have it. He needs to accumulate the necessary experience to have it. And until then, you need to help him. The four-letter word, not that one. H-E-L-P. Oh, boy. Trey is in the car. Trey. All right, let's go to Randall's up next. Randall.
Hey, Turtle.
What's up, Randall?
Oh, this is DJ, not Randall, though.
Oh, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Sorry about that, DJ. Go ahead.
All right, man. I've said it before, man. Penix, his mechanics aren't the best, but you will never be successful as an offense breaking the huddle when the play clock is running down and you run up to the line and you hike the ball without accessing the defense without checking or making any audibles, without the offensive lineman pointing out who's blitzing. And all of that is coaching, man. You seen it Sunday. A coach player came out the end untouched, blew Penix up, fumbled the ball. I just don't know what we're doing out there on offense. And then we got hurt offensive linemen. Mooney's been out most of the year. We didn't play in preseason to get any rhythm down. And I feel like we're just too predictable. Bijan was running the ball over everybody the first three games. But then once people start seeing the film, what we were doing, we can't get nothing going anymore.
Well, DJ, you don't just feel it. They are. And thank you for the phone call.
Yeah, man.
They are too predictable. Appreciate you checking in at 404-726-0929. That's been something again. Orlovsky, I have a video on my Twitter feed with 200,000 views on it. And it's of Dan Orlovsky breaking down the Falcons. It's the most watched thing I've ever put up on Twitter. Unfortunately, it wasn't my own content, but I'll take the views. Thanks, Dan. We had him on the show as a thank you. It's just the sort of a thing that you need everybody, to the caller's point, to be in sync. And nothing has been in sync. It's the offense one week. It's the defense next week. It's special teams. Oh, boy, special teams been bad. So to DJ's point, yeah, you got to have a cohesive unit as an NFL team in order to have success. And the Falcons don't have it. Not even close. Paul's up next. Paul.
You know, thanks for having me, Charles. I appreciate you having me on the show again. Here's the bottom line. I've heard all of y'all, the talk show hosts since August, talk about just what two callers said. We got all these things. If everything does this, if Michael Pitts does this, if Penix does this, the bottom line is you got a $70 million quarterback on the sideline. That is the most asinine decision. If you're going to fret and cry about Penix, put Cousins back in. He's ran 20 plays all season long. Put him back in. You want to try and get your foundation back up under you. Last year when he was playing and before he lied to everybody and didn't tell anybody he was hurt when he should have, which Penix should have done about 2 or 3 weeks ago too, you know, everybody was saying he could be the MVP of the league when he was doing so well. So what are we losing by putting him back in? Are we going to lose value on him?
I'll tell you, Paul, and thanks for checking in as always. I'll tell you, you actually said the word in your answer, which is ironic. You're losing your foundation. Paul, your foundation for this team is Michael Penix Jr. That is the foundation for the team. Like, there's no other way around it. Kirk is not the foundation of this team. He's going to be gone. Darnell Mooney's not the foundation of this team, unfortunately. You know, there are guys that just don't have a long-term future here. Kirk Cousins is one of them. So you talk about reestablishing the foundation, Paul. The foundation is Michael Penix Jr. And that's why we're having this entire, again, ironically, that's why we're having this entire conversation tonight. Because the entire thing now becomes get Penix back on track. And if Zach Robinson and Raheem can't do it, I firmly believe they will not have a job at the end of the season. 404-726-0929. We'll get more of your calls coming back, as well as a chat with Greg Allman, Fox Sports national NFL writer. He's been on the NFC South beat for a long time. What does he think the Falcons should do? 404-726-0929. And if you're on hold, stay there. First up when we get back on 92.9 The Game. /NFL to get started. Today we'll get back to your phone calls at 404-726-0929, talking Michael Penix Jr. and the Falcons. What should this team do? Are the coaches going to be able to right the ship with 8 games left and the playoffs seemingly growing further and further out of reach? To talk about all that and more, let's welcome in our good buddy Greg Allman, Fox Sports NFL national writer. Greg, let's start here in Atlanta. Things are about as dire as they can get. What have you made over the last couple of weeks watching this team sort of spiral down with their trajectory and the quarterback play sort of crumble right before our eyes, unfortunately?
Yeah, I mean, the problem is they're just an uneven team. You know, you think about the highs, you think about the lows, and they're certainly capable of both. Unfortunately, they're not consistent enough to make those highs happen. You know, they've had some big wins. You think about beating Buffalo, that's not an easy thing to do. But then, you know, to lose the way they lost to Carolina, some of these, I mean, two of those losses you can probably write off to your kicker almost, but that's a problem they haven't solved, and it's going to continue to be a problem, and the rest of the team isn't good enough to overcome that.
So when it comes to the rest of the division, just to put it in perspective, they have their second and final game with the Panthers, who are somehow 5-3, Greg, on Sunday. Yep. But if they don't win this one, they essentially, for all intents and purposes, would bury themselves in the South.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting to the point where they, you know, you're third and you got tiebreakers working against you. So, no, I mean, everything's still in play for them. But, you know, if they can, you know, get the Bucs in the second game, that take care of that. I mean, it's there. And the losses, for the most part, that they've had have been close losses. You think about Carolina, that wasn't. But, you know, they're a missed point away from doing something in Berlin that would have been impressive. It just didn't. So, like I said, I think it's one of those where the record is perilous, but I think they have to right now just tell themselves that they've been in most of these losses, and it doesn't take that much to turn close losses into close wins.
What is the state of the Bucs right now? Tough loss to the Patriots, injuries all season long, but they remain one of the best teams in the NFC.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those where, you know, they're definitely probably most defined by their injuries right now. I mean, offensively, to be, you know, without Bucky Irving, who's their best running back, to be out, you know, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Jalen McMillan, that's three of their top four receivers. Still down two offensive linemen that would be starting on this team. So, I mean, both their guards are essentially practice squad players right now. So, I mean, there's injuries all over, but I think that's kind of limited them. I think if they can get through the next two, you know, you're at Buffalo and you're at the Rams. That's the two toughest games left on their schedule. To even split that would be outstanding for them. But I think they know their last six games are against lesser competition. They get the Panthers twice. I think if things go well, they won't really have as much on the line for that. You know, it's one of those where they can get to, I think they get the Panthers week 16 and week 18. So you just have to hope that the Panthers have stumbled enough, like they did against the Saints on Sunday, to where that's not an issue and there's not a division on the line when those two square off.
Whipping around the NFL with our buddy Greg Ullman, Fox Sports national NFL writer. Make sure you check him out there. Big Blue making a big decision. Brian Daboll will not be back for now. GM Joe Shane is going to remain in place. How attractive is that job with Jackson Dart at quarterback?
I think it's a fairly attractive job. I mean, you think about not just Jackson Dart in place. You think about, I mean, these guys they don't have right now, but I mean, you have Malik Nabers next year. You're going to have Cam Scatabone next year. You're going to have a lot better things in place. There's cap space. You think about the defensive front.
Burns is done. Thibodeau's back. There's pieces that are there. It's in a tough division. You know, I think they've let games get away from them, and that's why Brian Daboll's out of a job. It complicates things if the GM is there. I don't know. GM might be involved in the search. I don't know if he'll be involved after the search. That's still kind of a murkiness that needs to be cleaned up. And that could impact, honestly, the coaches they get, just because you don't know if you're coming in with a GM that is wobbly, it kind of affects who the next GM might be, and that might not be as loyal to you if it's not the guy that hired you.
A team that the NFC South has to worry about is the Seattle Seahawks. How surprised are you at how good Sam Darnold is and how good they are?
They're outstanding. I mean, the Bucs went up there and won, and they won despite giving up touchdowns on five consecutive drives. I mean, Jaxon Smith-Njigba is one of the best, if not the best, all-around receiver in the league this year. Just so consistently making plays, piling up yards, touchdowns. The defense is solid. You know, I think Clint Kubiak has come in. I mean, this is a guy that's on his like fourth team in 4 years, but has really found himself, added some pieces. So, no, they're impressive. I think them and the Rams, it's such a good game because, I mean, those are maybe two of the top two, three teams in the NFL, and only one of them gets a division title. I mean, you're going to have, it's kind of like the NFC North was last year. You're going to have a really good team that's a wild card and a five seed, the lesser of those two.
If Mike McDaniel loses his job with the Dolphins, they've had a couple of nice wins over the last few weeks, including versus the Falcons, where they dominated them 34-10. But if Mike McDaniel is let go, do you expect both he and Brian Daboll to be back on staffs as offensive coordinators quickly?
Yeah, I don't know what'll happen there. That's a tough one to shake out, honestly. It's one of those where it sounded like the ownership was certainly behind him. They've had some impressive wins where, again, I mean, a lot of people had left them for dead, and now they've won, you know, they might end up being a 5 or 6 win team. So that's probably one where I think the head coach has a better chance than people realize, and there's more on the line. I mean, the Bucs go down there in week 17, And again, that looked like a game that was easy to write off 3 or 4 weeks ago, and now it seems like a tougher one.
All right, so as we look at the rest of the landscape here, talking with Greg Allman, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Fox Sports national writer, there are a couple of teams that are sort of on the verge of being a contender or pretender. One that I like to pick people's brains about because I'm fascinated by them. We just saw them be stifled on offense again. That's the Green Bay Packers. Greg, they're sort of a Jekyll and Hyde when it comes to their offense.
Yeah, I mean, I think the record I posted last night, I mean, the Packers are 1-3 in games in which they hold teams to 16 points or less. And I think the rest of the NFL is like 61-5, you know? I mean, it's just unheard of. And it's funny because I don't think that people going into the year would have said LaFleur and Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs, that's going to be the weak side. That's going to be the side that's holding them back. But it really has been. I think Jeff Hafley's done a great job with that defense. Obviously, you get Micah Parsons right for the season. That helps things. But they've not been a consistent offense. They don't have Tucker Kraft the rest of the year. It seems like they have about 6 number 2 receivers, but nobody that can really step up and take the lead. They've dealt with injuries on the line. So they're a curious team. I mean, they had come out of the gates, what, 5-1-1? And I think people thought they might be the team to beat in that division. And now Detroit has looked more like Detroit of a year ago, and Green Bay has stumbled. So that NFC North, especially with Chicago coming on, Minnesota getting McCarthy back, and they're probably a little bit more. I don't know. They're probably still on the outside looking in there, but that's still a really nasty division. And I think they've got it stacked where like 4 of the last 6 weeks are all division games.
When I look at a team like the Cardinals, they're fascinating to me because now it seems like Jacoby Brissett is the man with Kyler Murray hitting the injured list again. But if he goes somewhere else in the offseason, Greg, do you think he can find a home as a starter, or is this guy going to be destined for backup duty?
Yeah, I mean, the problem with Kyler is that there's so much money owed to him. You know, I think it's one of those where it's a little bit like the Falcons and Cousins, where I think if they were to find a taker, Arizona would probably have to eat some of that salary to get him to go somewhere else. I mean, there's talk about Kyler. I mean, would Kyler want to move forward if he knows he's a backup somewhere? I mean, Kyler's 29. He could still go to baseball if he wanted to. I mean, this is one of those where he's probably as hard to predict as anybody. He's kind of in that Russell Wilson territory where your salary is such an albatross that it makes it harder to deal you. You might get to the point where Arizona just walks away from him. And even then, I don't know that he goes to a place, and I don't know that he would go in knowing he's a starter. He's probably going to have to go somewhere and hold off a rookie or beat out a middling quarterback situation there. He's kind of burned out his window as a presumed starter and a guy that would go somewhere and know he can take over a team just because it's just been ineffective for so long. He's losing out to Jacoby Brissett.
Do you think if the season continues to tank in Pittsburgh, this could finally be where the separation is with Mike Tomlin?
It could. It could. I mean, it's one of those where he's had such a sustained run of good teams, above 500 teams, making the playoff teams, but so little postseason success in terms of deep playoff runs. Has done this with multiple quarterbacks now. This was kind of an all-in type year to acquire some of the veterans they did to build around Aaron Rodgers. You know, Baltimore has certainly surged back where I think, you know, 3-4 weeks ago, they didn't look like a playoff team. Now they're kind of taking control of things and looking a lot sharper that way. So no, Pittsburgh, I mean, the next 2 months could turn things in a number of different ways. I mean, I think if Mike Tomlin were done in Pittsburgh, you know, he'd have 10 NFL teams that were calling him the next day. But it's definitely hitting a point where, you know, if he's not taking that next step that they needed this franchise to take to get back to, you know, the second weekend of the playoffs and some relevance there, it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out.
Before I let you go, Joe Burrow expected to return by Thanksgiving. That's the latest report. Is there a shot that he can resurrect the Bengals, or are they too far gone?
I don't think so. I mean, their defense is just terrible. You know, I mean, it's one of those where that's held them back. We kind of knew it would. They put all that money into keeping the offense intact and keeping Burrow and the receivers and all that. And there's just, you know, they have a defense that's given up, you know, not record numbers, but 30 points a game. So I think it's great that Burrow's back, and it'll be a great storyline if he can make a charge and make them competitive in December and January. But I don't know that it turns into a playoff berth.
Greg, appreciate the time as always. We'll check you out at Fox Sports. We'll talk soon.
All right, take care, man. Have a good night.
All right, that is Greg Allman there. When we get back, we'll continue to take your calls. 404-726-0929. If you're on hold, stay there. You'll be first up. If not, grab a line. 404-726-0929. The Atlanta Falcons have 8 games to fix Michael Penix Jr. They have 8 games to try to save their season. Can this coaching staff put together a desperation plan, because that's what it is, it's desperation time, and both save Michael Penix Jr. and save the season? We'll do that, plus 5 Falcons true and false questions coming up next to close out the 7 p.m. hour on Chris Thomas Tonight. Going to get back to your calls in just a second, plus we'll have 5 Falcons true or false questions with producer G, having a great conversation tonight about the state of the Falcons. It's desperation time, man. Again, the analogy I've been using all night is if you were at your job and you had one big assignment to do, and if you couldn't get it done, you were going to be fired, would you be able to do it? That's essentially what Zach Robinson and the offensive staff is looking at right now in terms of getting the offense, but most importantly, Michael Penix Jr. back on track. 404-726-0929. Got a couple of calls to take, and then we'll get to 5 Falcons true-false questions. But before we do that, want to just remind you once again that Sports Talk on the Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Vince leads us off this segment. Vince, go ahead.
Hey, Taylor, how you doing, man?
Great. What's up?
Look, I listen to this station all the time, and all I'm hearing is Michael Penix is the reason that the Falcons are losing games. From my understanding, everybody wanted Mark Drake.
You didn't hear that on my show. I didn't say that.
I heard it on Stakes. I'm gonna say a Stakes show.
Okay. Well, I'm not.
He said that. And he needs to stick to talking about food or something. I don't understand what he's talking about.
Well, you're calling my show now, and I'm not Stakes, so go ahead.
Well, I want to know, everybody want to knock Drake Mays, which he's doing good. I understand that. But what was his record last year?
Drake, the Patriots, had four wins? Yeah, they had 4 wins.
4-13. So I don't understand why you're not giving this kid a chance, man. He really is a rookie.
Well, it's because of the rest of the team, right? The rest of the team had playoff. It's because the team has playoff expectations. That's why.
But the quarterback is a rookie, man.
I know, but that's the decision that the Falcons made. That's what we got under. Like, the Falcons chose to go into this season with playoff expectations and knowing that their quarterback only made 3 starts last year. That's what they decided to do.
So he should be, he going to be the future of the team. That's what they're doing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. He's the future of the team.
Just like Drake made Caleb Williams all in. Didn't they start last year?
Yeah, but the problem is, the difference is, the Falcons right now haven't made the playoffs in 7 years, and this was supposed to be the season that broke the streak with Michael Penix Jr. at quarterback. That's the difference. The Bears and the Patriots didn't have playoff expectations last year.
Yeah, I don't understand that, man. I really don't. You're not giving this kid a chance, man.
What do you mean giving him a chance? He's the starting quarterback.
Everybody's blaming this kid, man.
He wasn't good. You have to be honest about that. I'm blaming it on the coaching. I'm not blaming it on him. I think he is broken right now, and his coaches need to help him, and they're not. But to sit here and say that 12 for 28 is acceptable with horribly missed throws, how can you justify it? You can't. He was awful.
All right, only in Atlanta, though. Only in Atlanta.
But I appreciate the call. What do you mean in Atlanta? Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. What do you mean only in Atlanta? What does that mean? He was 12 for 28. What are you supposed to justify? Again, there's a difference between Caleb Williams in Chicago, Drake May in New England, and Michael Penix Jr. in Atlanta. One of these things is not like the other, as the expression goes. Those two teams were going to be bad last year. That is a given, a fait accompli, that those two teams were going to be bad last year. The Atlanta Falcons this year were supposed to break their 7-year playoff drought. And right now they're 3-6. And Michael Penix Jr. was 12 of 28 in the game last week. So, unfortunately, Vince, I get it. It was a pile-on, I think unfairly so. But at the end of the day, it is what it is, man. Stefan's up next. Stefan. Oof.
Hello?
Yeah, I got you. Go ahead.
Yes. I think that Penix is the future. I'm a Cowboys fan, and I'm in the same boat. But when it's all said and done, Arthur Blank really needs to take a look at the leadership of that team. Really, Penix has been set up. It just seems like a true Atlanta Falcon setup. Now, the history shows that if Penix were to get traded or goes to another team, the chances of him winning a Super Bowl are higher than the Falcons even making it to the playoffs. Based on history alone.
Okay, but what does that have to do with where the team is right now?
Well, right now, a decision needs to be made.
Yeah, it does. And if they don't win games, and listen, I get you. Thank you for the phone call. Guys, we got to keep it on point here. I understand that if Michael Penix Jr. was, you know, on the Chiefs, he'd have a lot better of a chance with Andy Reid as his head coach. I mean, duh. What does that have to do with where the team is right now? Again, it's about now. We can't think about the past. We can't think about the Super Bowl. We can't think about the future. We have to think about right now. So, yes, that's a very obvious statement that if, you know, he was with Sean Payton or Andy Reid or Matt LaFleur, there's a pretty good chance he'd be better than he is right now. But that's the whole exact freaking thing we're talking about, Stefan. It's coaching, coaching, coaching. The reason he's not that is because he has these coaches, and it's up to these coaches to turn it around and get things back to where they need to be. They got 8 games to do it, and if they can't, the overwhelming majority of chance is they will be out of a job. DJ's in Villa Rica. DJ.
Turtle.
What up, man?
You're hitting the nail on the head again, brother. Ever since Diablo has been out of the middle of that defense, how does J.D. Bertrand have a job in as an Atlanta Falcon? He has been getting eaten up in the middle of that defense. Yes, it is coaching. When we had Dan Quinn as a coach, he picked up Kyle Shanahan as an offensive coordinator. Zach is not that guy. So you don't have a coach that can coach up a quarterback or an offensive coordinator who is basically a rookie as well. Brother, it is definitely coaching, just like you said, Turtle. But this guy plays favorites. He doesn't play the starters in the preseason, which when I looked at Raheem, I looked in his eyes at preseason at the beginning of that game. He looked like a deer in the headlights. I said, oh, my God, we're in trouble. Michael Penix does have the confidence, but it starts up top. If you're looking at a coach that is afraid of getting you hurt in the preseason, Michael Penix is running around afraid because of the coach. We need to get a quality coach. And Turtle, this is my question. You're Arthur Blank. Who do you bring in as the next head coach of the Falcons? I'm giving my stamp of approval to John Gruden because he's going to put a foot in somebody's behind and make them play like men out there. Raheem Morris is a coward, and he needs to be fired ASAP.
Well, DJ, appreciate the call, man. Again, this is – gee, it's funny. I don't know if you caught this or not. Over the last 3 days, this is now the third call. I'm averaging 1 call per day requesting for John Gruden to come in and save the Falcons. And unfortunately, the third day in a row, I need to remind people of something. John Gruden is suing the NFL. Suing the NFL. He is not coaching in the NFL. Suing, not coaching. Suing. Let's everybody try to remember that when we bring up John Gruden. He is suing the NFL for slandering his name in the investigation that got the Commanders' ownership changed. That's what's going down with John Gruden. Now, I think there are a couple of good candidates out there, specifically for offense. I would give Brian Daboll a call, man. That dude can coach a quarterback. Look at Jackson Dart this year. He was playing great. He got himself busted up, but Michael Penix Jr. doesn't play like that. Mike McDaniel, again, if he gets let go, I'm calling him. He's a quirky guy, but he knows how to play offense in the NFL. There's some quality options out there. Mike McCarthy. You want to talk about a guy that'll come in and just settle the ship? 12-win seasons, 3 years in a row with Dallas before he got fired. He hasn't won a Super Bowl in a while. He did win one. I would take any of those guys right now. 404-726-0929. Josh is up next. Josh.
Turtle, what's up, man?
What's up, Josh?
Hey, man. Just at work. Look, I got two quick points if I can try to get them both out.
Yeah,
but the main one is the Falcons, as an organization, just need to shut up and play football. We haven't won a game since the Bills game, correct?
That's right. Four losses
okay, so
in a row.
After that game, Raheem ran his big mouth and said, Bijan Robinson is the best player in the NFL. And Michael Penix ran his mouth and said, oh, we've arrived, or whatever it was he said. Whether you think that or not, as a team, you don't say it. Because now you got everybody in the NFL keying in on you, especially those two specific players, which are two specific players that you need to make this offense actually be good. Coaching aside. Secondly, and this is just from somebody born and raised in this city. Admittedly, I'm a black man, so the three most important people in this franchise right now are African American. I need them to get it together because y'all ain't looking good right now. I'm just being honest. So,
well, isn't more important than that just winning? Like, I don't care if they're green. Yeah, if they're green, brown,
yeah,
black, or orange.
But I'm just saying, as a black man in Atlanta, Chocolate City, it made my heart smile to know that we have three people of color in high positions.
So, is your concern that they'll stay, that they'll steer away from that if they?
Hey, you know. I'm going to just leave it at that.
No, okay, I got you. Thank you for the phone call.
All right.
I got you. Here's the thing. Here's why I don't believe that for a second. You think Arthur Blank would steer away from anybody who he feels like is not the best person to come in and get this team turned around? Even for nothing else, Garrett, you can't be picky and choosy right now if you're the Atlanta Falcons. Even if everything he said was true, our last caller, I think still you would have to swallow hard and hire the best guy for the job because this team is not in a position to play favorites with anybody, any race, any creed, any religion, anything. They need to win.
I don't think he was insinuating that necessarily, but he was.
No, he was.
I mean, Either way, we'll see. Just win games and everything else is
secondary. But I totally understand what he's saying. Like he's saying, man, like, I'm so proud as an African-American man to see other African-American men in such high positions of power in the Atlanta Falcons. And he's absolutely right. That's a great thing. But at the end of the day, if they can't get the job done, you have to clean house and bring in the next best people. And it doesn't matter, and it shouldn't matter, and it won't matter. Again, if they're fat, skinny, tall, white, black, it doesn't matter. The only question is, can you win? 404-726-0929. Pete's in Noonan. Pete.
Guys, Michael Penix is 25 years old. 70% of pro coaches go between college, big-level programs, and the NFL. Do y'all not think any other coach has ever tried to fix his footwork or tried to fix his accuracy? And the fact that you think somebody can come in here and fix his footwork and fix his accuracy is ludicrous. Those are things that are almost impossible to fix, especially when you're a 25-year-old quarterback. Now, I know Zach Robinson seems to be terrible. I agree. And he seems to only have a few packages that he puts in the game. But is there any chance he does that because Penix can't handle it?
I appreciate the phone call. I appreciate the passion. I get what you're saying, but it's just not true. Garrett had a good point in my ear. Josh Allen had the exact same issues when he came into the league. He is now your reigning MVP. Lamar Jackson had to figure out the balance between running and throwing the football. He's a 2- or 3-time MVP, if I'm not mistaken. 2-time MVP. There are guys in this league that can figure it out. And you jinxed yourself at the beginning of the call, Pete. You hit on the key point. He's 25. Guys, he's not 32. He's not Matt Ryan at the end, man. The kid's got a long leash in the NFL. Pete, I strongly disagree. Todd's in Sandy Springs. Todd.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Who's been around the longest with this team besides Arthur Blank?
Probably Rich McKay.
Exactly. He is the problem. People say that he doesn't do anything. He doesn't make decisions about football. That is completely ludicrous. He's the only one that's been around since the beginning. He's his right-hand man, and clearly his leadership and his decision-making isn't there. I'm tired of the coaches they keep bringing in. I'm tired of the GMs they keep bringing in. Fontenot's done a great job with the drafting, but at the end of the day, when you got to execute and get a coach in there that's not going to be coach speak, it's McKay. He's the one. And also, one final fact, every time that Arthur Blank goes onto the field in a close game, which is every game, more than likely we lose. Well, more than likely we lose.
Todd, I appreciate the call.
It's bad luck.
No, stop it. There's absolutely no correlation between that whatsoever.
He does it every game.
I will not.
He's done it every game since he's took over the team. He's always done it.
It's funny because, Todd, you sounded like a smart guy. Like, why would you end your call with something just absolutely ridiculous like that? You know, I'm all for having fun on this show, but, you know, we got to keep a buck here. That's just an ignorant comment, Todd. Call in any time, but just you got to be a little better than that, man. Steve is in Snellville. Steve.
Right now, Penix is playing like a good backup. He's the guy that comes in and goes 1-1 until the starter gets back. Is that what he is? We don't know because he doesn't have any receivers. He doesn't have any receivers because Fontenot's got a $30 million a year quarterback sitting on the bench. And let me tell you, Turtle, I've been calling in different shows for like 6 years, and you've become a favorite because you think like I do. When they're good, you say it. But when they're bad, you tell it like it is. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for the phone call. Thanks for the kind words. If you look at the statistics, it's hard to argue. I mean, he doesn't have good numbers on the year. So when you say he's playing like a backup, I mean, figuratively and literally, but that's what needs to be corrected. That is the point of this entire conversation. Great stuff. If you're on hold, stay there. Got plenty more time to take your calls. 404-726-0929. We'll get producer G involved as well with 5 true and false questions. We got a 6-pack coming before the end of the show. Don't worry, people. We'll get it all in. But if you're on hold, I'm going to keep taking your calls. 404-726-0929. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you till 10.